Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. If you have your Bibles with you today, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Just one verse today, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. We've been talking about and looking at over these past few years on how to see Jesus. We want to do the things in our life that's going to help us see Jesus. And why is that? Because we know the more of Jesus we see in our lives, the more joy we will have in our lives. And so we talked about something beginning last week that was of Jesus, and if we're going to see Him. And I want to share with you a quote from Dr. Carl Menninger. Dr. Carl Menninger was a psychiatrist years ago, and he came up with this. He said, if I could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them could walk out the next day. If I could convince them that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them would walk out the next day. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but he's saying, you know, if we could just grasp this idea of forgiveness, a lot of the things that we struggle with mentally and emotionally, that would really go away. And so last week, we started looking at this idea of forgiveness and understanding forgiveness, because forgiveness is of Jesus. And we said, you know what, a good place to start is really to understand the forgiveness of God. And God, when He forgives, He completely covers our sin and humiliation. He covers our guilt and humiliation. He washes away our sin. He forgets the sin. The Bible says He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. And forgiveness is key to our fellowship with God. Forgiveness is key to our relationship with God, but it's also key to our relationship with each other. And that's what I want to look at today, looking at forgiveness with each other. And now that's why I want to look at this verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Let's read it together, and it says, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Now, several times in the Bible, this verse is out there. Several times in the Bible, we see this idea that, you know what, we need to forgive as God has forgiven us. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus, told them this same thing. He also wrote to the church at Colossae, and he told them this, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a grievance against one another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Heart of the matter is all about forgiveness, and that's what we're looking at today and what we're talking about. And as I listen to that psalm, I realize there's really three things. When I think about forgiveness, there's three things that we need to understand. And these three things sometimes hamper us in our life. They keep us from moving forward a lot of times. A lot of times in our life, man, we think about the good old days. We think about things that happened in the past. And we just want to go back. If we could go back, we're going to be having our 130th anniversary here next week. If we could go back sometimes to the things that were going on back then, boy, that would just be wonderful in a lot of ways. But when we talk about forgiveness, we need to understand that we can't go back. I can't go back. I can't go back to those times. I can't live back there. I can't go back and try to fix something. You can't either. We can't go back. There's something else that's awfully true about our lives, and that's that we can't stay here. You know, oftentimes we arrive at a spot in our life where everything's good, everything's just wonderful. We just wanted to kind of hang out here for a while. We would just like to be here. But the thing about life, it's like a river that keeps flowing. We can't stay here. And the last thing that we see is this, I must go forward, all of us. We must go forward. In order to have healthy lives, that's really what we need to do. And forgiveness helps us do that. Forgiving others, getting forgiveness from others, forgiveness helps us move forward. I must go forward. There's three questions I want to answer about forgiveness today. And then the next time we're together in 2 weeks when we talk about forgiveness, we're going to look at some examples of how we can apply this to our life. But right now, I want to answer three questions. And the first question that I want to see is this. Why forgive? Why do we even have to forgive? Can't we just let it go? Can't we just sweep it under the rug? Can't we just think about that in the past and just move on? Why do we need to forgive at all? Well, first of all, and this I didn't put on there, but it really goes without saying, the first reason you and I forgive is because God told us to. Several times throughout God's Word, He tells us we need to forgive. You need to forgive. So quite simply, we just need to forgive because God has told us to do that. Not only has God told us to do that, we need to forgive because God has forgiven us. And these two verses that I just read, that's exactly what it's saying. We need to forgive because God has forgiven us. As a matter of fact, Jesus said the very same thing in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Jesus said this. He said, "For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well." And then He said something very curious in verse 15. And this verse can be misinterpreted. This verse can be misunderstood and probably is by a lot of people, because this is what He said in verse 15. "But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses." And there's a lot of people, bad theology, that will look at that and say, you know what? That's saying that if I don't forgive somebody, God is not going to forgive me. So my forgiveness from God is dependent upon how I forgive others. But that's not what that verse is saying at all. That is bad theology. What that verse is saying is just exactly what we talked about. If we do not understand how God has forgiven us, if we do not understand how deeply God has forgiven us, then we'll never understand what it means to forgive somebody else. So it really begins again there. We need to understand that we need to forgive others because God has forgiven us. The second reason why we need to forgive others is because if resentment will ruin me, if we carry this bitterness, if we carry this resentment throughout our life, it's just going to continue to deteriorate us. It's like a cancer. It's like a disease. We may think everything's fine, but boy, it's affecting us. It is impacting us. Dr. S.I. McClellan used to say this. He said, "You know what? What you eat will not give you ulcers, but what is eating you will certainly give you ulcers." And we know that, don't we? We know that's exactly right. I read this not too long ago, and I thought this was very interesting. It said two people are going to die. Two people. And this is the two cases of people that are going to die. One person dies in excellent health, completely secure and at ease, yet another dies with a bitter soul. One dies completely happy, they are secure in their life, they are dying with ease. Another one's going to die with a bitter soul. That's true of all of us. We're either going to die in one of those two cases. You know where that came from? That came from Job chapter 21, verses 23 and 25. It is so true. Resentment and bitterness will ruin us if we do not deal with it and forgive others as God has forgiven us. And knowing this, we need to understand that forgiveness really goes in two directions. First of all, we need to seek forgiveness. I don't know about you. I'll go ahead and move on to this next one. How do I ask for forgiveness? I don't know about you, but when it comes to forgiveness, it used to be the hardest part about forgiveness for me was accepting God's forgiveness. And what I mean by that, when I was growing in Christianity and I didn't know a lot about it, I really struggled with accepting God's forgiveness. Has this happened to anybody else? I mean, God forgives you, and boy, I want to move on, but I feel so guilty over the things I've done. And I think to myself, can it really be that simple that if I ask God for forgiveness, He's going to forgive me? And so accepting God's forgiveness, when I was early on as a Christian, that was very, very difficult for me. But boy, I've grown in that. And now I understand, you know what? When God forgives, He covers our sin. He covers our humiliation. And I'm thankful for that. But you know where I struggle today when it comes with forgiveness? I struggle today asking for forgiveness. I don't know if anybody else has that struggle or not. And I thought about that. Why is it so hard sometimes for us to ask for forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong? And I came up with two reasons. The first reason that I can think of why it's such a struggle for me to ask for forgiveness for the things I do wrong is because I don't think I really do anything wrong. Does that happen?
I don't sin. So, man, why do I need to ask, right? Why do I need to ask for forgiveness if I never really do anything wrong? And I'm saying that in jest, but I'm saying a lot of times in our life and where we are today, we are moving so fast that a lot of times, is it not true, we don't think about these things. We really don't. We rarely, hardly say good morning to people anymore. We rarely ask them how their day is going. We're really on to the next topic. We want to know what's going on here. We want to know what this is about. We want to know the latest that are going on in people's lives. But we skip the little things. And a lot of times those little things are that we just don't think about. Am I hurting somebody? Have I hurt somebody? Do I need to ask for forgiveness? And if that's true, I came up with something during my devotion time that I wanted to share with you that may help you. During my devotion time and quiet time now, I'm starting to ask myself questions to see if I can check myself on if I'm hurting somebody else. And these are the questions I came up with. Number one, do I owe a debt to somebody that I haven't repaid? Is there somebody that I owe a debt to that I haven't repaid? Number two, have I broken a promise to somebody? Has there been a promise that I've broken to somebody else? Number three, I'll run through these. Have I over-controlled, whether it's a spouse, child, family member? Am I overly possessive of something? Am I hypocritical of something? And what I mean by that, do I find that I'm criticizing somebody over and over and over again? Lisa's having a lot of fun with these. She said, boy, I want to get you on this one. Am I hypocritical of something? Do I tell somebody something and then do it myself or don't do it myself? Am I doing something like that? Have I been abusive toward anybody? Haven't I not appreciated or shown attention to somebody? Have I forgotten an anniversary or birthday? Have I been unfaithful to someone? Have I lied to someone? Have I made fun of someone? So if I'm asking myself those questions, then God is bringing to me, you know what? You hadn't thought about that, but remember yesterday you thought it was funny and you thought you'd tease Sydney and you'd say something to her and that really hurt her, that really bothered her. Did you notice she sulked up and didn't say anything else for a long time? Did you notice she did that? And boy, I hadn't even thought about that. But asking that question brought that back to me. And you know what we need to do when we discover that we've done something wrong to somebody? You know what we tend to do when we do that? Here's another problem, another reason why I have so much problem asking for forgiveness from somebody else. It's because when I ask for forgiveness, I tend to explain myself. I tend to want to defend myself. I want to tell people, okay, I know I did the wrong thing, but this is really why I did this. And so I give a long explanation so they'll understand why I'm the way I am. You know what we really need to do? I've come up with seven words. Seven words is all it takes if we need to ask for forgiveness for somebody. And these are the seven words. The first three are real easy. I was wrong. I was wrong. The next four are, will you forgive me? Humbly ask somebody for forgiveness. That is what we need to do when we're asking for forgiveness. The second thing that we need to do is trust God. You know, there are times when I come before people and I ask them for forgiveness, and one of the things that keeps me from even asking sometimes is I tell myself, you know what, they're not going to forgive me. They're not even going to talk to me. Why should I even go bother or try to ask for forgiveness because they're not even going to talk to me? You know what we need to do when we ask for forgiveness? We need to trust God. We need to realize, you know what, they may never talk to you again. They may never even want to see you, but that's not on you. Your goal is to get reconciliation. Your goal is to ask forgiveness. Romans 12:8 says this, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, why do you think it says if possible? Because there's sometimes that's not going to be possible. But as far as it depends on you, try to live at peace with everyone. That is how we ask for forgiveness. We trust God. How do I forgive then? Well, the first thing that we need to do is release our pain. We need to release our pain. And so many times, what do? We try to sweep things under the rug. We try to say it's not a big deal. There's things that have happened in our past that we've never dealt with, and we've said to ourselves, it's happened so long ago, it doesn't even matter. But you know what happens when all these wrongs begin to add up? Man, if we keep sweeping them under the rug, there's a big pile in the middle of the rug eventually that we have to deal with. I remember in Bonita Springs, Florida, several years ago, the fire department was called out. I actually got a picture from houses here in Owensboro. I'm not going to share with you where I got those, but I got some pictures of a house here in Owensboro that reminded me of this. But several years ago in Bonita Springs, Florida, the fire department was called out because the neighbors detected an odor coming from one of the houses nearby. And they thought it was a gas line. They thought something was going on. So they called the fire department out. The fire department came out. When they arrived at this house and entered the house, it was a house that was completely trashed. I mean, there was trash all over the floor. They didn't use a trash can. They just threw the trash, boxes, you know, cartons from food containers, milk, anything, all of it went on the floor. If that fits anybody here today, go home this Mother's Day and clean it up, because physically it is not healthy for us to live in those conditions. But let me tell you something. Spiritually and mentally, it's not healthy for us to continue to live with the trash that we've just keep pressing and pressing back and pressing back. We need to bring that out. We need to release the pain that we've experienced with the hurts that we have had in the past. You know what else we need to do? We need to resist the urge for revenge. We need to resist. It's just in us. That's why we love movies where they have a revenge plot. Hamlet, Godfather, Mission Impossible series, any movie where there's a revenge plot in it, man, we love that sense of revenge. We love that sense of justice. We need to resist the urge to get revenge on people that have harmed us. And I tell you, I get this question whenever we talk about this. Well, Eddie, what if somebody commits a crime against me? What if somebody hurts me and they've actually broken the law if they've done it in the way that they've done it? Let me say this, and I hope you hear and understand every word I'm about to say. If somebody commits a crime, report it. Call law enforcement. If somebody commits a crime, you should turn it in to law enforcement and let them deal with it. Let justice prevail. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 13 that God's agents, God's servants are our government. They are there to process the judicial system. They are there to do fair and just. Bring it before a jury trial. That is not on you. You need to report it. Even if somebody comes to you and says, Eddie, would you not report this? Please forgive me instead. I need to report that to the law enforcement authorities, and you do too. And here's what we need to do once we do that. We need to let it go. We need to let it go. You know what the word forgiveness means in Greek? The word forgiveness, I've shared with you before, one of the things about the Greek language, one of the beautiful things about it, is it just doesn't give a definition. It always gives a picture. So the beautiful word in the Greek for forgiveness is this picture. You picture somebody that has wronged you, and you've got them by the collar now. You've got them, and you're just holding them there, and you grab on and keep them held by one hand, and you just want to come back and just whatever you do. I'm not really familiar with this, cheerful. I don't know what people, but I think they punch them, you know. I mean, they just let them have it. They just land blast them, you know, just let them have it right there. At that point that you want to do that, instead of doing that, you let them go. You let them go. I mean, it's not doing away with anything they've done wrong, but you are letting them go instead of taking out revenge. That is the picture of forgiveness. And that is what we need to do when we forgive others. There's one final thing that we need to do here, and that's this. Oh. We need to replace our pain. We need to replace our pain with peace. Replace the pain with peace. That's what we need to do last. And we, if it helps you, I would do Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7 is a great verse. In that verse it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Pray that. Pray, God, man, I don't understand this. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. It goes beyond all understanding of how I'm going to deal with this right now, but I'm praying right now for your peace in my life. Replace the pain that I feel with the peace in my life. Would you pray that? You know what? I don't know why I wanted to share this morning. There is something that happened in my life. For 21 years, I've been in the ministry. I am 55 years of age. I've been married to Lisa for 35 years. And before today, Lisa was the only one that knew this happened to me. Before today, Lisa was the only one, but I feel like God wants me to share with you something that happened to me when I was going in the fourth grade. Between summer of third grade and fourth grade, I was molested. And there was a young man who was in high school who overpowered me, and he molested me. That was painful. That was painful. It's something I've never shared with anybody until today. I don't know why I waited till Mother's Day 2019, when everybody's going to be here, to share that story, but I want you to know it was hard. Boy, I carried that for a long, long time. And I finally had to realize, you know what? I need to release this. This bitterness, this resentment is going to stay with me, and it's going to affect me for the rest of my life. And I came to the part where I said, God, you're going to have to take this. I don't understand this. You know what happened shortly after I prayed to God? God, I want your peace in my life. You know what happened shortly after I did that? That man called me. This was about 10 years ago. He called me out of the blue. I hadn't heard from him since that moment. He called me out of the blue, and he said, Eddie, I'm with a ministry now. He said, I was wanting to know if I could have lunch sometime with you, and we could talk about what God's doing at your church, and we could talk about what God's up to in my life, and I just wanted to talk to you and see if we could do that. And I hung up the phone, and I told him I'd meet with him, but I had no intention of going to meet with him. And I prayed about that, and I went to that lunch, and I sat across from that man. And here's how you can know when you have forgiven somebody. Here's how you can know when you've let it go. When you can think about that moment, when you can think about the pain that they inflicted upon you and it doesn't cause pain anymore. When you can look across the table at them and it doesn't bother you anymore, you don't see anything about that anymore. That's how you know that you have forgiven someone. And that in our hearts is really where we need to be. You know, in 2006, October 2nd, 2006, I'll close with this. In October 22nd, 2006, there was a man by the name of Carl Roberts. Carl Roberts went to Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. Carl Roberts, this is him. Carl Roberts had three children. He had a wife. He had a job. He worked every day. You know, I mean, everything seemed to be outwardly fine in his life. But inside, Carl Roberts was harboring a lot of resentment. He was harboring a lot of bitterness. He didn't like himself. He didn't like where he was. You see, Carl Roberts, we don't know why he did what he did, but according to his journal, according to the things that he wrote, it appears that his wife lost a baby girl. She miscarried. And from that experience, he could not let it go. He could not let the fact that God had taken, in his mind, God had taken his baby girl, and so he wanted to go and take other baby girls. That's why he went, Doug, to this little one-room schoolhouse in an Amish community of Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, and he lined 10 young ladies up against the wall, and he shot them all. Five were killed instantly. Five were killed from that experience. And a lot of people try to get inside the mind of Carl Roberts, but let me tell you something that happened shortly after this event. The media shifted. And they stopped reporting about Carl Roberts and what would cause him to do this. And they started looking at what was the response from the Amish community. Because the Amish community did this. They took food to his widow and his family for several months after the event and watched over them. They went to the funeral for Carl Roberts. They ministered to Carl Roberts' family after this was over. And people were just shocked at the outpouring of love that had appeared with this family and with the Amish people. As a matter of fact, people wanted to know, why did you do it? Why did you do something like this? Why did you take care of them? Why did you watch over them? There was a man, an Amish man, by the name of Sam. Let me make sure I get this right here. This Amish man by the name of Sam Stoltfuss, who said this. He said, if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. We all want to go to heaven, so we need to forgive. Why not forgive? We forgot forgiveness on our way to modern life. Now, there's a problem with this theology in that response, but I like the very end where he says, we forgot our way to forgiveness in this modern life. There was a lady who was a midwife who had been present at two of the young ladies' birth, and she said this. Her name was Rita Rhodes. She was present at the births of two of these slain girls, and she said this. She said, we really want the world to know that we have forgiven the shooter for his brutal action. If you have Jesus in your heart and he has forgiven you, how can you not forgive other people? If you have Jesus in your heart and He has forgiven you, how can you not forgive other people? I can't stay here. I can't go back. I must go forward. And the only way forward is through forgiveness. Have you thought about the contrast of that story? The story that I just shared with you, the contrast. Because here's Carl Roberts, who was a person who had a lot of hate, a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, and he wound up killing people. Now, I'm not saying that if we harbor hate, unforgiveness, and resentment in our lives, that that's where we're going to head to, because thankfully, that happens very rarely. But what I am saying is this, is that if we do not forgive, we will hurt people. How many times have people pushed people away that they loved because they just can't get rid of the resentment in their life? How many times have people become alienated? How many times have people said hurtful things and bad things to people, all because of the resentment that they harbor in their life? As opposed to love and forgiveness. When the Amish country provided love and forgiveness, healing came into their community. Healing will come into our hearts when we forgive as God has forgiven us.
Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.